VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, increasingly, women's sports are being decimated by gender-confused men who are identifying as women. I mean, just earlier this month, a Minnesota court ruled that USA Powerlifting must permit transgender athletes to compete, authorizing biological males who identify as females to compete against biological females. Just recently, ESPN, in celebration of Women's History Month, gave honor to a biological male identifying and competing in swimming as a female. Another biological male recently won the women's cycling race in New York City. A top female professional bicycle racer who has racked up some 35 wins on the national cyclocross circuit throughout her career said she is leaving the sport after finishing in fourth place behind a man identifying as a woman. Women's sports are being decimated. We hear a lot about equity and equality today, but where's the equity in this? What do you say to a female athlete who's been at the top of her class, has poured her life into this until a gender-confused male wins out against her in her sport? Joining us today here on Crosstalk, we welcome Steve McConkie, president and founder of Four Winds Christian Athletics. It's a sports ministry founded in 1988. They take a stand for Christian athletes. For many years, Steve was involved in track and field ministries. He, along with his wife, have worked through many Olympics. And Steve, welcome here to Crosstalk.
Yes, thank you very much for having me again. I deeply appreciate this so we can get all this information out and get people engaged.
Indeed, and we've got to perk up and take notice, folks, as to what's going on. Steve, you're not the new kid on the block when it comes to this matter here. You've been engaged in this issue and warning on this issue for a long time. Tell us about the battle that you've been involved in.
You know, it's really funny. You know, I finally realized it's been 20 years. In 2003, I was sitting on the couch in Duluth, and that was way before the internet got, you know, real big. And, you know, I was reading an article in the Duluth News Tribune, and way pushed back in a little couple paragraphs that said that the International Olympic Committee was going to allow transgenders in Olympic sports. And I scratched my head, and then eventually I called all the International Olympic Committee people in the United States and the U.S. Olympic Committee protesting. I did it in a good way, but the last thing the lawyer said in 2003, nothing will ever become of this.
Wow, and look what it has become. This is. Tell us your passion. Why are you so passionate on this issue?
Well, you know, I was a U.S. club coach for United States clubs from 82 to 92, and I was involved in world-class track and field ministry, and we still do a lot of ministry work with Four Winds Christian Athletics. But after I saw that, and then I saw you know, how they were trying to cover up, putting pressure on athletes. If athletes even mentioned this, they could have their Olympic ambassadorship taken away, and just subtle ways that they got at them, not directly, but they could even turn the media against these athletes. So the athletes were very silent. So I figured, well, I'll speak up.
Well, friends, and we are seeing just the backlash against athletes who do speak up on this issue here. And Steve is not intimidated by that by any means. Let's talk about some of the issues here, Steve, because there are those who will argue that if a biological male takes these blockers, hormone blockers, that it's going to put them on the same equal basis as a female athlete. Is that true or false?
It's false. And, you know, not only that, I have a master's degree in public health where I study diseases and medical statistics. So these drugs, for example, I looked at Leah Thomas. And when this athlete with longer muscles, longer bone structure, diving in the pool at the sound of the gun, this athlete had a far greater reach and reached the water. The race was over once this person reached the water. And so, you know, from a scientific point of view, a person that is male has 30% more strength than a female, and the drugs do not reverse hardly any of that. So the advantages are still pretty much intact for a person pretending to be a woman.
So you mentioned bone structure, lung capacity. Is that all part of it as well?
Yes, lung capacity. I would say lung capacity, heart. You know, there's a lot of factors there. You know, I don't want to get your audience too bored, but then you get the fulcrums of the longer bones and the muscles, you know, and that's something you can't reverse. And also, you know, men and women are just built differently too.
Mm-hmm.
And you just how they walk and how they do various things, and you'd get in the mechanics of that. But a male is far superior in athletics, and I'm not saying superior in a bad sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in athletics and in as far as physical characteristics in sports.
Okay. I mean, and you pointed out some of those things, like lung capacity, the heart, the fulcrum of the longer bones, the strength aspect. Are you aware of any genetic studies on this matter? I mean, because there, you know, some even talking about finding this gene or that gene that makes people the way that they are.
Well, I know I there's a massive study that was in Europe and throughout by Andrea Ganna and a broad institute in Massachusetts General Hospital. And what they went over is all the genetic materials for supposedly trying to find a gay gene. And they went over millions and millions of genetic material. And this is the 100 times bigger study than ever previous studies. And, you know, we know there's 23 chromosomes, you know, in human beings, XX for female and XY for male. But with 25,000 genes in the human cell, they did not find one genetic component for being gay. Then they said, well, there's three, maybe not genetic genes, but maybe three possibilities of something way out there in the millions of genetic material, not genes, that could attribute to being gay. So the media picked up on them and said, well, it's genetic. But in parentheses, the study, people that did the study said, these do not determine being gay. So we know right from the start that this is not genetic.
And we know that in the matter of transgenderism, or those who are gender confused, there are those that are taking hormone blockers or taking, you know, some kind of suppressant or enhancers in that regard. What impact are these transition drugs having on the users?
And this is where they need to get into, and this is how we need to approach this subject. It's not only about winning, and I went out to Washington, D.C. and stressed that. Last year, and I went to 46 offices in the capital of Wisconsin and stressed that. But we really need to be talking about, so when they do these transgender drugs, the suicide rates increase. And the reason they increase since 2010, if a parent is not overseeing the transgender care, you know, this is a study by Turbin, that the suicides dramatically increased in every state where this happened. And also we know that there are heart attacks. George Washington University promoted this. Risk of serious blood clots and strokes are just really high for transgender athletes.
Steve, I'd like to read from the Daily Caller. This was an article that came out March 12th. It was repeated by WND.com, and it tells of Dr. Susan Bradley, a Canadian psychiatrist, pioneer in child gender dysphoria treatment. But she came out against the popular model of affirming children's transgender identities and putting them on puberty blockers, a practice she was once involved in. She started a pediatric gender clinic in 1975 aimed at treating children with gender dysphoria, a deep sense of discomfort with one's body and biological sex, in which she offered a therapy-focused approach. Most patients outgrew their feelings of being transgender over time. Did you hear that, folks? Most outgrew their feelings. Well, around 2005, the clinic began prescribing puberty blockers to gender dysphoric children as a way to alleviate their distress, a model which has since become widely adopted by medical establishments around the world, including in the United States. Bradley, who is now in her early 80s, expressed regret that the clinic had participated in the administration of puberty blockers for gender dysphoria, which she now believes can cement a child's sense of confusion out of what they would likely otherwise grow. She also expressed concern about the drug side effects. She said this, "We were wrong. They're not as irreversible as we always thought, and they have longer-term effects on kids' growth and development, including making them sterile and quite a number of things affecting their bone growth." Steve, she was involved in the very heart of this matter, and she's now regretting this, saying, "We were wrong."
Yes, and you know, and there's a lot of people coming to that realization, but we still got a big battle ahead of us, because if you looked at a map 10 years ago of gender clinics throughout the United States, there were a few. Now, if you look at the map of the United States, they're just littered, just totally across our country. So we need to keep standing and keep and talking about the studies and things that are coming out and showing that there's early death with these transitioning drugs, not just suicide, but just the physical effects. And, you know, obviously as a Christian, there's spiritual things there too. But we need to keep talking and get at the grassroots level, tell everybody you know, and at the same time in a loving way, just, you know, we got to keep telling the truth. And once these lawsuits start hitting some of these people, that's when they start realizing that they made a big mistake.
Yeah, and we need to point out that many of these treatments are life-changing. They are irreversible medical treatments. It's an attempt to change their sex. They cannot do it. You pointed out, Steve, that we're XX or XY. We can't change that formula.
No, you can't. And I will say there's 1 in 2,000 people that are born maybe with confusion in as far as genital, you know, formation. I'm trying to be careful here. Mm-hmm. So the doctor and the parent has to decide, but they usually go by chromosome and what they think's best. But we're not talking about this. We're talking about people that just decide, okay, I'm a boy, I'm a girl, or I'm an athlete. I was ranked way down in the bottom as a man. I might as well compete as a woman. I'll be ranked very high. So these are choices that are made by themselves, and to me, it's almost delusional.
Yeah, I've got a story here from Breitbart from March 11, 2023, indicating that the number of youths identifying as transgender is surging. They indicate that the diagnosis of youth with gender dysphoria have skyrocketed in the U.S. in recent years. While there were only 15,000 cases in 2017, by 2021, that has jumped to 42,000 cases. And actually, Steve, these things are going higher even since that time as well.
Yes, and I've been going to local school board meetings and trying to get information out to remove transgender indoctrination from schools. And it's just shocking to people that don't know about it. The parents know something's up. And that's why we need to keep this in the balance and keep talking about it. Go to your school board, do it in, get as many people as you can, and just be peaceful, but present the facts. And our youth are being indoctrinated by the Wisconsin, in here, the public instruction. They've got websites on this stuff, and I'll talk about that sometime here, but I'll talk very briefly. They got things about abortion pills for kids, what to call your parents from 3 to 5 year old preschoolers if they don't agree with your transitioning. You know, I find this almost like a total brainwash, and a lot of schools try to hold that back, but that's on the website in the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction.
And I know, Steve, that Wisconsin is not alone in this. This battle's going on in states across the country.
Yes, and I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. And Wisconsin schools are trying to hold it back, and I know that throughout the United States, this is the same thing everywhere. So I'm just using that as an example.
We're going to take a quick break here. Steve McConkie is with us, president and founder of Four Winds Christian Athletics, their sports ministry. And friends, when we come back, we're going to take a look at some of the goings-on, a recent court decision pertaining to powerlifting, for example, and cycling. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now some people say that they don't believe in God because they can't see him. Is this a legitimate argument?
No, I don't think it is, Chris. Now, it does take faith to believe in God, but we see all sorts of evidence of him. We see the results of what he has done. We see many truths in the Bible verified by science and history, and thus have a good reason to have faith in the rest. Chris, it amuses me to see so many people believing in aliens. We've never seen an alien. We've searched the heavens with fine detail and can find no clue that anything is out there. But they'll believe in aliens before they believe in God. Life is so complex that it must have been created. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Thank you, Dr. John. For more information on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org. That's www.icr.org.
sports impacted by the LGBTQ plus agenda. Our topic today, Steve McConkie is our guest, president and founder of Four Winds Christian Athletics, and talking about this issue and its impact upon sports. Steve, there was a pretty troubling ruling from a judge in Minnesota this month as it relates to powerlifting. What did the judge say?
Well, I think, you know, the fight was in the courts for a year, and so you had a male pretending to be a female powerlifter, and the judge decided that he had the right to compete with USA Powerlifting, and the powerlifting, they did not want this. They fought it, but their hands are tied, so they're going to – it'll be interesting to see what comes of this.
Is this something that's going to be appealing – appealed, if that is?
Well, I haven't heard that, but, you know, just the layout of this and how it's going to be done. You know, I know athletes that I know in the situation are that they're very upset. And I would say that I not even met a few that are pleased with this decision. So, again, a court rules against the people. And with 0.3% of the population being transgender, it just seems like they have more power at times than the populace and the population.
So this is a judge who's indicated that men who are identifying as women can compete against women in powerlifting. I mean, that's really off the charts.
And Minnesota is really going deep end. I mean, they're trying right now to get a sanctuary place for transgenders. So this is the part of their they think they're giving, you know, this group freedom to come in. But what they're not telling the people is that they're cheating the women. And they're also cheating, you know, people by telling them lies that this is a good thing for a USA citizen or to become a woman, supposedly, and actually destroy their life in the process.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just go to New York City. A biological male just won the female cycling event. One story indicated that the competition was crushed by this cyclist. Female cyclists are saying it's not fair. One female cyclist who came in fourth in this race was flanked on in one of the races was flanked on either side by male riders who were awarded third and fifth. And Steve, she says, "I'm out of here." She's retiring from the sport.
And that, and what they keep the cycling people, they need to get up and get at the grassroots level, because that's what and the top people need to start complaining. In 2016, at the Olympics in Rio, I knew there were three intersex athletes. They're not transgender, but they are three intersex athletes, and they did not test their testosterone. And so I tried to sue the International Olympic Committee to stop the 800 meter race. And what I had was some volunteer lawyers here in Wisconsin, but they said I didn't have a vested interest in the race, so I couldn't do it. So what happened is the race took off, and every intersex athlete got gold, silver, and bronze. The girls were left in the back crying. And that's when the World Athletics, or the track and field portion of the sports and Olympics, started thinking we've got a problem.
Yeah,
and so that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, and we'll get more into that here in just a moment. But when we look at this universally, I mean, it is sport after sport after sport that biological males are stripping records. They're winning competitions, and you think of these women and teenage gals that have poured their life into it in hours and hours and hours of training, only to be stripped by a biological male. Yeah, as far as winning the sport.
Yes, and you know, and what's really funny is you start getting these scientists on the other side from us, and how they come up with their conclusion. You can get a scientist every single thing that is even wrong, but the majority of scientists, whether they want to admit it or not, maybe some in universities don't want to take it on because they'll get fired. I'm outside the box, and I look at all the scientific stuff coming in, and I realize that there's a real problem here. And I think anybody with common sense, you don't have to have a scientific background. All you got to do is read the Bible and open your eyes, and you know the truth.
The news media and sports media seem to be all in on this as well, Steve. I mean, ESPN, in celebration of Women's History Month, recognized a biological male going by the name of Leah Thomas, who, as reported by the Daily Wire, previously spent three seasons on the men's swim team, University of Pennsylvania, but now identifying as a woman and winning all these sports competitions. And here's ESPN, in celebration of Women's History Month, you know, recognizing this athlete.
Exactly, and that's what you're seeing. Is they're celebrating supposedly, you know, a situation where they want to be open and equality, but really what they're doing is they're promoting nonsense. It's almost like a destruction of the family, a destruction of athletics, and I think they're pleased with this, and some of these people don't even know what they're doing. I sat with Bruce Jenner in 1976 when he set the record in Des Moines, Iowa. There's about 10 of us sitting there with his first wife, and he's one of the persons that, you know, I thought, man, I looked up to him, read his biography, and then I got in Christian ministry. I'm not saying Bruce is a Christian at the time, but I saw the phenomenal performance at the Drake Relays before he won the gold medal in Montreal in 1976. It was just unbelievable that a person of his stature could do such a great thing. And then over the years, you saw the destruction of himself and wanting to be transgender, and then everybody celebrating it. And I was the only one fighting it, and the New York media got very upset with me and said, you know, don't bother him because he won't influence people. But obviously, I was right and they were wrong.
Well, and let's look what Scripture says. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Even in the New Testament, Jesus was questioned on things pertaining to marriage, and he said, have you not known from the beginning God created them, you know, male and female? It's like, didn't you know this? And, Steve, it's there since Genesis chapter 1. God's word has not changed on this matter.
No, it has not. And the spiritual problems, you know, we got to pray for these people, but at the same time, we got to stand. I was at a school board meeting a few weeks ago, and I talked about the dangers of transitioning. And afterwards, a day later, a transgender called me, a local transgender that had been at that school, now out. He started, and I was very nice to him and explained to him the dangers of transitioning. And then he started cussing me, and then he said he had hope that I'd die. And so what I'm trying to say, this is a really severe spiritual situation. We need to pray, but we need to keep standing up for our kids. And when they're putting this stuff in school, they are actually brainwashing and putting these thoughts in the kids, even if they say, well, we're just explaining it to them to be street smart. That's not what we are to do. Kids are innocent. Let them chase a basketball. Let them go to school, play, but we got to quit indoctrinating them.
And that indoctrination is taking place, and there are battles being fought on the state level in many regards. And I was very stunned to see from the Washington Free Beacon in Nebraska, the state number Nebraska, the state lawmaker Michaela Kavanaugh says she will filibuster every piece of legislation this year because the legislature has adopted, or rather advanced, a bill that bans sex change operations for children. I mean, it's fighting because the children they're not allowing children to mutilate themselves. If the legislature does not withdraw the bill, the legislator said, I'm going to make it painful, painful for everyone. Kavanaugh declared, I will burn the session to the ground over this bill. Wow. You know, that is shocking. Shocking to see, to bring a legislative standstill, burn the session down to the ground, as it was the, you know, terminology used here, as a result of not allowing the mutilation of children.
Yes, and what we need to realize is this is almost like Hitler-esque, if you got a term. And so you have this person, but you have abortion, and then you have the mutilation of people, actually taking body parts off kids. I can't think of anything worse than that. And these innocent people without brains formed who can't even make a decision to drive at 12 years old, and they're removing body parts as they get older. And this is a severe spiritual condition in our country. And I think one of the things that abortion and this and, quote, other, of course, there's other sins, but we're heading for a very difficult time in the United States if we do not reverse this.
Friends, again, let me quote from Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, Steve, a story just came out last week about the World Athletics, who announced that it would not allow transgender athletes to compete against women. Those who have gone through male puberty will not be allowed to face off against women in female sports. Is this track and field? Comment on this, if you would.
We were really excited last week. We had saw that swimming stopped it last year, and the sport that I've been involved with since 1981, even seeing Sebastian Coe, the leader of the World Athletics, compete in 84 Olympics and win gold. And so I was really pleased because 3 months ago they said they were going to allow transgenders, but just drop the testosterone down to 5 nanomoles. And so what in the 3 months, athletes started complaining they dropped them all together. So I'm very much pleased.
Now, how does this impact world competitions like Olympics, for example?
Well, the athletes will have to, so they can't compete, you know, pretty much eliminated them. So it's going to help competition. The women can have a breath of fresh air now, not knowing that their sport is not going to be ruined by transgender athletes.
So
it's a great victory.
This World Athletic Group, who do they have jurisdiction over? Is this all world sports, or what is the parameters from which they operate?
Yeah, it's the governing body for world track and field. So it's pretty much, it used to be the IAAF, but
okay.
It's a track and field body that's through the whole world. And so that's real good news. And they make the decisions of what the Olympic Committee can do in track and field. So this is very good news. So they ruled the, but at the same time, you can still have an athlete in high school. They can't control the high school.
Right.
They can compete on any team they want and even shower with any situation they want and use any bathroom. So we still got a lot of work to do.
Indeed. And as it relates to professional sports, I know that there are those who are also standing up in opposition. There are recently a couple hockey players who they would not put on the LGBT jersey for their gay pride nights taking place. I mean, and they're taking a lot of heat for that.
Well, every time I see something like this, I'm just so happy. And these guys aren't haters or like they're portrayed in the media that they hate people. These are probably some of the quiet Christians that are the people that are reading the Bible in the back of a team bus. These are not the braggers and the loudmouths. These are the people that, you know, just very calm and try to be a good influence on their team. So every time we see this, we must pray for them and also realize that we got to continue to encourage those to stand up. We need to get at the grassroots level in our school board everywhere and peacefully allow our schools to go back to what is honest.
Yeah, again, folks, this was just two more NHL players that refused to put on the LGBT pride jerseys, citing their faith as a result of this. But yet, Steve, we are just seeing a proliferation of pride nights that are being held virtually every sport and virtually every team.
And I know even the Wisconsin Badgers down in Madison, I think, was the first women's team to do this. So not only professional teams, it's getting into our college and hopefully never in high schools. But I'm sure that's going to be the next step if we don't keep standing up. But we need these pride nights. It's nothing to be prideful. I could state the disease rates of homosexuality or the molestation rates of homosexuality, and it's nothing to be prideful about. The only pride we have in rainbow would be Noah's Ark in a sense of spiritual pride, knowing that God is not going to destroy us by a flood again. But, you know, we are facing difficulties in the United States. But pride is a bad word that we can, you know, so I should be careful using it. But that's the only thing we need to be thankful for.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Steve McConkie is with us here. I've got a couple more questions. We'll then allow you to weigh in on the program as well. Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, talking about sports being impacted by the LGBTQ+ agenda. Back in a minute.
There is a significant uptick in the intensity of the issues bombarding us. It's not a single battle being waged, but an all-out war on numerous fronts. The attack on biblical values, the demonizing of Christianity, escalating lawlessness, the emerging secular agenda, and the growing control of the populace are all unfolding. These assaults share the common thread of globalism. Globalism by the powerful elites in order to have supremacy over the people, their land, government, commerce, energy, and even religion. In the book, Globalism, The Great World Consumption, author Richard Smith tackles these matters head on by not only looking at the perilous times in which we live, but to see how this lust for control is propelling us toward a one-world political system and both a one-world economic and religious system. The book Globalism is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
sports impacted by the LGBTQ plus agenda. Our topic today, Steve McConkie is our guest, president and founder of Four Winds Christian Athletics. Steve, give us a word about Four Winds.
Yes, Four Winds Christian Athletics. Well, 1988, we were founded, and we started out as a U.S. club track and field team. Then in 92, we got away from the team and did ministry work with Olympic track and field mostly, and at USA Championships, Olympic Trials, and Olympics. And so now, you know, we're still ministry and sports, but obviously I'm taking on more issues and, you know, staying out of politics, but just telling people the truth about what's going on and trying to encourage those that need help.
And the website, 4WindsUSA.com. That's the number four, the number four, 4WindsUSA.com. And you'll find more information on the organization. Steve, there's a pretty interesting story as well out of Vermont, where the Mid-Vermont Christian School in White River Junction this is in Vermont, being punished because of their position on the very matter. Here we have a girls' basketball team that noticed that that an athlete on the opposing team was a biological male to be on the female team, and they said, we're not going to play that team. It's not fair, it's not level playing field, and it puts our players at risk of danger. And so they forfeited the game, but now the Athletic Association is saying, well, since you did that and you're discriminatory, you will be barred from every sport in every tournament-style situation.
You know, and that's good that they did that, because they're, I know this fall there's a volleyball team, and what happened was the volleyball player, transgender volleyball player, spiked the ball and hit a girl in the head, and the girl ended up in the hospital with, you know, concussion-like symptoms and had to stay there for quite a while. So, you know, if you get under an elbow of a transgender and you're a smaller girl, you're going to have, serious effects. If they hit you just right, it could also damage a lot of things. Basketball is a very physical sport.
Indeed. And to know, though, that this team is being sanctioned now from all future, tournaments, it just doesn't sell well with me.
And if all the Christians and people showed up at these school board meetings, let's say all the schools in that conference, and they said, hey, you guys need to reverse to see the principals. You know, I don't know how these people get in a bubble and think they live above everybody. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to make people believe what they do. And they think everybody that doesn't is their opposition. But only 0.3% again are transgender. And so you got one basketball player that can control the dictates of all, every person, maybe two transgenders in that whole conference out of 100 girls plus. And they're trying to control what everybody believes. And that's where they're harming kids. It's not only the transgender athlete by accepting him, but they're telling people to be quiet. So that's actually forming the in the kids' mind to accept this or else.
Yeah, or else, and that's what's going on. And, friends, as you know, the battle is going on in many states. For instance, here from townhall.com, March 26, Missouri issues hotline to report abuse of transgender surgeries on minors. Here's LifeSiteNews.com from this month as well. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signs law banning gender transitions for children, males and female bathrooms. And then we also have out of Minnesota introducing legislation criminalizing parents who refuse sex change operations for these children. The battle is being waged in states all across this nation, and Minnesota has just been on the brink of, you know, internal destruction from what they've been passing on abortion, this transgender issue as well. And Steve, this brings up another whole topic. And I know Alliance Defending Freedom is engaged with this right now, but it's a matter of locker rooms. And they are representing one by the name of Blake Allen, a 14-year-old who was suspended from school after she voiced concern that her school had allowed a male student to use the girls' locker room. She complained, and now she is the one that's being sanctioned.
And that's really sad, and I'm seeing this throughout the United States. I dealt with a case, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, was out in California, where there's a polo team using a pool. So the girls went through the dressing room, and there's a male person there, probably, 30 years old plus, and he's stark naked and the girls have to walk by him and see him. They complained to the school, and the school told them they just have to be quiet because the person's transitioning. But, you know, so a guy, if he did this 5-6 years ago, he'd be thrown in jail.
Yeah.
And we're allowing what I call it, we're allowing all these criminal acts to occur, and that's what they really are in a lot of situations, especially when it comes to older people. But also, I think it's criminal when we put these girls in this situation.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk, like to hear your questions or what you have to say on the issue today. Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Those of you who have daughters in particular, as this entered sporting events that they are engaged with, as this impacted the school that your children go to, we'd like to hear from you across the nation here today, 800-733-9829. Steve McConkie is with us. He is the president and founder of Four Winds Christian Athletics, a sports ministry founded in 1988. Their website being fourwindsusa.com. That's fourwindsusa.com. And this is being impacted in sports and in the elementary schools. It's being impacted by high schools on the collegiate level and professional sports as well. And I'd like to take your questions, your comments on this issue. And here, by the way, also a recent story came out from FaithWire just this last week, too, about the Chicago Blackhawks that would not be wearing the Pride jerseys. Even though they're having a Pride night, they would not wear the jerseys, citing security concerns there as well. So that's something to take note of as well, Steve.
Yes, and we got it. When we see these athletes standing up and organizations trying to resist, we need to pray for them and ask God to continue to give them strength and boldness and protect them as they're being attacked. And it's very important that we see this and know there are brave people out there. We're not to be cowards and run.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have Emily calling in from Caledonia. Emily, you're on the air.
Hi. Speaking of this man standing nude and the girls complained about it and nothing was done, and also the drag queens, whatever happened to the law about lewd and lascivious behavior? Was that thrown out?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great. Thank you for the question. And Steve, and indeed, they're seeming to make exceptions. If somebody is now identifying as the opposite sex, that they will refer to that individual with different pronouns and allow for activity that otherwise, as you said, they would have been arrested for not too many years ago.
Yes, and it goes back, and, you know, the Romans 1, you know, it talks about, you know, the creation. We see God in creation. So if we see a beautiful mountain, we can say, oh, man, look what God created. So when we look in the mirror privately at night, we can say, oh, man, look what God created. The human body, the eye, the arms, and every part of our body is created wonderfully. So I think the last stage of society is homosexuality, of course, other sins, but the homosexual, because when you look at God's perfect creation in the mirror and you defy that, because we know how we're built, male and female. And so this is something we need to, and you see in drag queens and mocking God. And we're definitely living in the shadow of the tribulation. Whether Christ comes back in my lifetime, I don't know. But I'm just going to say that we're living in dark times if we don't have a change soon.
Let's go to Wayne next in Gregory, South Dakota. Wayne, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wondered, I was going to ask your guest if he's ever heard anybody suggest to these girls, if I had a daughter or a granddaughter on a swim team like that where this guy swims with them, I would encourage them to get together, and when they're signaled to jump in the water, just all turn around and walk back to the locker room. This guy'd be in the water swimming by himself. I mean, I think that's about the only way they're going to somehow stop this, if they just quit competing. And I know that's hard to do. It. Some of these girls have worked hard and got scholarships and everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is just ridiculous. They'll let men compete with women. And there was several months ago, there was an ex-Army Special Forces Ranger or whatever he was, and he, you know, transitioned supposedly to a woman. And he was in an MMA boxing match with this woman and just beat the living tar out of her. And then afterwards, they praised him as being a pioneer and and like he was some great, you know, groundbreaking pioneer to get in the ring with a woman and fight. I mean, this world is just upside down and inside out and backwards. I mean, it's wrong as what.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Thank you. Any comment there, Steve?
Yes, I know that. I think he's referring to a case where the woman was hit so hard it broke her eye socket. And in the California case, I don't know what happened to that. In other words, I don't know if they told the guy to go eventually, but the girls complained and they, you know, told him to kind of be quiet. They didn't deal with it like they should have real quickly, but I think, you know, I haven't followed up. But at the same time, we know this is wrong. We're seeing this, you know, we know the Texas swimmer, Gaines was in the locker room with Leah, and Leah was, full frontal display. And, you know, this is not right. We should not put our girls, I don't care what age, in a situation where they have to see the male anatomy. Mm-hmm. I mean, these kids usually aren't stupid, but at the same time, it's very uncomfortable for them, and that's not the place for this.
And indeed, now Wayne also said, why don't gals just walk away? And recognize, though, that many have poured, training into the sport. And girls that have complained, in one case, was it a volleyball team or basketball team? None of them can use the locker room until the one who is, you know, identifying as transgender is finished in there. Then they can go in and utilize it.
You know, and that's what I think, too. I'd like to see more boycott-type things in reference to this. And I know I was at a chapel and talked to some top 800-meter runners in the United States were affected by the 2016 race where there was gold, silver, and bronze and other races where these intersex individuals. Yeah. And, you know, they pour their life in their training. And so I'd love to tell them to boycott en masse, but they'd have to do it en masse. But now I think what you're, you know, it's very hard to do when somebody's life stake, you know, this is their life. It's like a 20-year-old. This is their future. This is, you know, they're putting their money and their time into this, and they got one shot at it. So it's a hard situation to tell them to do that. But I think I would love to see a boycott, like when you see a race and you know a transgender is going to be there and he's dominating, just nobody show up. That would be a perfect scenario. But, you know, obviously in the real world, that doesn't happen. But that's where I think everybody, like this Leah Thomas, created such a grassroots uproar, and that's where it's going to come from. You get the lead athletes complaining, a few of them, then you get their grassroots, the common people, the moms and dads, everybody at school board.
Let me get another caller in before the break. Robert in Kansas City, Missouri, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for this topic, and I really appreciate the gentleman's work that you're interviewing today. Thank you for that. And also the question is, where is all this coming from? When did it start? How did it sneak in so subtly? And you have to go back to 1958 when a book was written called The Naked Communist. Contained there within, there were 45 steps to communism, which people were so afraid of communism at the time, they introduced this as a stark warning in 1963 to Congress. And anyway, instead of shunning these, about 40 of the 45 have been introduced. If you look at them, they're one paragraph each.
Yep, the communist goals. I'm up against a break here. Thank you for the call. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. For many, many weeks, there have been protests in Israel over judicial reform. However, this weekend, the protests are now gaining global attention because there are thousands upon thousands in the streets, to the point some are concerned about a civil war in Israel. Many of them are on the side of the left. Some are saying that the globalists and George Soros types may be fueling it, that many of the people in the streets may not even be from Israel. Remember, Israel is on the verge of maybe going to war with Iran. Great opportunity for those that back Iran to bring dissension and strife into Israel. The issue with the judicial reform, that's their issue, and it could be reform that's needed. We won't get into that. The bottom line is, the Bible says Israel will go through a time of great upheaval. And then will come a man of perdition, the Antichrist, to bring peace and stability. Is the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? Let's keep watch.
Steve. Steve McConkie with us here on Crosstalk on VCY America. And we were just talking here with Robert in Kansas City. And, yeah, Robert, we've done a the communist goals that you pointed out there. We've done a full program going through those one by one, and it is frightening. And we are seeing the takeover take place, are we not?
Yes, and when these people, like the gentleman you're interviewing, goes against these people in the public eye, these steps have to be put out there for the people to understand that we're under attack and who all is implicated in this, because it specifically mentions schools, it mentions churches, seminaries,
the media,
it mentions the court systems, and you can see, and then ask yourself which party has implemented, stood by, or protects each one of these 45 steps.
Robert, thank you for the call here today. Patrick in Harlem, New York, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to commend you guys for this topic. It seems like we've been behind the scenes just watching this heroic story take place, and it's about time someone stands up. And this is warfare we're involved in. These people are taking over the school system, the educational system, the politics, and it seems like we're in the wrong for defending our rights. So I commend you guys and thank you.
Great. Thank you for the call. And as he points out here, Steve, the floodgates are really open right now.
Yes, they are. And it's a big spiritual battle. But what, you know, when you talk about communism, what they do is they overwhelm you. If you stand, they overwhelm you. If you stand, you overwhelm. And they make it painful for you. So you, but you got to keep standing, because they're going to try to outwork you. But you just got to know the truth and stand on that.
Holding the longest is Steve, Burnhamwood, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Steve.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Jim. I just wanted to point out the fact that everything that they go after, the LGB, is to weaken us. As you stated earlier, they've weakened the schools, they've weakened the churches, and now they're trying to weaken the athletes. If athletes don't stand, as the earlier caller said, for a boycott, and we walk away, then they're going to take over and weaken the exercises and physical condition of all Americans, which is their end game, I believe. And we need to stay strong. And we can't. We got 87% of the younger generation now that isn't physically fit. And we can't add to that number anymore.
Thank you, Steve, for your comments. Greg in Bloomington, Illinois, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Jim. You know, the LGBT community is always telling us that they're just great people and they're just misunderstood. Well, I wonder, when is the LGBT community going to denounce Jussie Smollett along with the rest of the criminal gays, like Jordan Tristan Walker, who made some very questionable comments about Pfizer vaccines, William and Zach Zulock, who basically pimped out their special needs children, Anderson Lee Aldrich, the Colorado shooter, and now we have Audrey Hale, who is a transgender that shot up and killed three Christian children and three Christian teachers. If the LGBT community is so great, when are they going to denounce these criminals?
Thank you for the call. Any comment there, Steve?
Yes, and they need to, and we're finding track of this, you know, through some mass killings as of late have been related to people that claim to be transgender. And I think that it creates a lot of anger in these transgenders. We're in a spiritual battle. They need to denounce it. They're messing with these people, and they should not mess with their bodies. You can't defy God and castrate people, give them drugs, and so many drugs now try to cure all the pressures in society. We need to get back to the simplicity of God, and if you have to take drugs for different things, you got to be under a good doctor that's not going to try to make you out to be a zombie.
Yeah, but you're not talking about gender transitioning drugs either.
No, I'm saying there are probably drugs that some people do need. And, you know, I'm not advocating for the pharmacy industry,
right.
But I'm saying it's got to be under strict trust. But mostly, more important, we got to turn to God.
Indeed.
That's the most important thing.
Let's go to Al in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for my call, brother. Thank you so much. I wanted to let you know there's a case in Bridgeport that there is a transgender child wanting to compete at the middle school level, and that's made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we haven't heard anything back about that. But, Jim, I've coached girls' sports throughout the years, and as well as some other things also. But and I've also officiated a lot of women's sports, and it's kind of not an unspoken rule, but they let the girls play a little bit more aggressive and let a little bit more things go. But how would you do that, you know, when you have somebody that's a male in there? And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. You know, it's just not right. It's not fair to women. And what's Title IX good for now? Probably right. Not a whole lot.
Right.
But anyway, hey, God bless all you saints, and love you.
Great.
Have a good one.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. And brought up some good points here, Steve.
Yes, and you know, greed is a funny thing. It makes people do things that they normally psychologically would not do. And I think that's what you're seeing in a lot of these sports, like the Pittsburgh coach had the swimmer setting records. Well, you know, it's kind of greedy to get be known as a good coach or win titles. So they get sucked up into it.
We have just a minute remaining here, Steve. What guidance would you have for people? How can they get engaged on this on a local level?
Just keep reading your Bible, pray. Make sure you go to school board meetings and do it peacefully. Get your neighbors, and when you see things in school, it's got to start at the grassroots movement.
Mm-hmm.
Then move all the way up to universities, and if you see things in colleges, make sure you do the same.
Reaching out to legislators, is that also important?
Yes, very much important, and it's so important to have them on your side. And don't stop doing that. Write people, call people, and even go visit them in the offices and tell them what you would like to do. And I'm planning to go maybe the 48 capitals in the lower 48, maybe before the election, and preach at each capital. And that's something that's in the back of my mind, but I'm praying about it at the present moment. And we need the country to turn back to God.
Indeed we do. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Steve McConkie, president and founder of Four Winds Christian Athletics, a sports ministry founded in 1988. Their website is the number 4WindsUSA.com. That's 4WindsUSA.com. Winds, W-I-N-D-S, 4WindsUSA.com. Friends, the issue is ever before us here today, and we need to get back to the scriptures, don't we? God set it up from the very beginning as he made them male and female. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.